July 5, 2020. Wellsville Full Gospel. Interim Pastor, Tom Brazell. Sermon title, Gifts of the Spirit, Part 3.
I want to read to you. It's pretty much the same as I have seen in every manual of every power tool I have ever bought in my life. All right? This is what it says. It says, warning. Carefully read and follow all warnings and instructions on your product and in this manual. Save this manual. Make sure all users are familiar with its warnings and instructions when using the tool. In proper operation, maintenance, or modification of the tool or equipment could result in serious injury and or property damage. Now, most of us have never read that because we don't read that. You know, it's like... it's like the manual that comes in the box with the table saw. We don't really think they didn't really mean it, so we don't really read it. But it's there, almost everyone. Then it says this. It says, read instruction manual and know your tool. Read and familiarize yourself with entire instruction manual. Learning the tool's proper application, limitations, and specific potential hazards will greatly minimize the possibility of accidents and injury. Make sure all users are familiar with its warnings and instructions before using the tool. Why am I reading that? Because that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we are doing right now as we are going through these several chapters of 1 Corinthians and looking at, right now we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit. Everything in most of us says, hey, let's just get on and do it. But the truth of the matter is, God has a lot to say about how we use these things. And if we use them right, they're a blessing. If we use them wrong, they can really cause some problems. So we are doing exactly what they told us to do in that manual. We are looking to know the manual and obey it and listen to it and bring ourselves under that. So far we've looked at the three revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. We looked at the three power gifts, gifts of healing, faith, and the working of miracles. Oh yeah, I wanted to do something here. Normally my wife is sitting in the front row and she's going like this. So I don't have her here. She's in Philadelphia, so I got a little timer going so I don't get carried away. So I don't think we're going to finish the three vocal gifts, or the three power gifts, healings, faith, and working miracles, and we're going to look at tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. I doubt we're going to get through all of that, so I think we probably have one more week of this. These gifts are the most widely dispersed, and therefore there's more said in the Bible about these three gifts than the other ones. So tongues. Tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in a language never learned by the speaker nor understood in the minds of the speaker, nearly always not understood in the mind of the hearer. I know some of this we touched on last week just as kind of a introduction, but tongues is the most prominent of the spiritual gifts. We'll see it. We'll see that. And some might say, well, why do we need it? Why should we have it? Well, we're going to see that. But first of all, we should see that it was the Lord himself who introduced us to this. He says in Mark 16:17, these signs will follow those who believe. Who believes? We got believers here. I know. You didn't know I wanted your hand to go up, but I knew it was up. I had a word of knowledge. Okay. So I know it's up there. So these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. And he said some other things there, but he introduced the whole thing. So what is the scriptural purpose for speaking in tongues? Well, it's an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to take a whole message just on this. So I'm not going to spend much time there right now. Notice I said it's an evidence. There has been, in time past, there has been a feeling that it was the only initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have come not to believe that that's true, but it certainly is a very prominent evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we will look more closely at that whole thing later. But it says in Acts chapter 2, 4, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I know some here have desired to speak in tongues and has not had that gift released yet. I'm expecting that that's going to change, and we'll see that. Some never have, and some have and just forgot you did, and you need to kind of stir that up, and we're going to see why you have to do that as we go through this. We need tongues that men may speak supernaturally to God. It's a prayer language. There's basically, you'll see there's two uses of the gift of tongues. One is a prayer language. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Okay, so I went to this prayer meeting, and I was sitting there. There's probably 600 people at this prayer meeting. This is my first time there, but I had heard a little bit about this thing called tongues, and it fascinated me, and it frightened me, and to be honest, it kind of freaked me out a little bit, you know. So, but I was sitting there, and we were praising the Lord and everything, and there's this lady sitting next to me, and all of a sudden, she started speaking in tongues, and I go, "Oh my gosh!" And I thought, God is right there. You know, that was my, you know, it's just like this. But she wasn't speaking to me, but I was eavesdropping a little bit, and she was in this prayer language to God. And so it's a language, but one that we don't understand. It's not something that originates in the mind. It originates in the Spirit. It could be a heavenly language. Maybe it's not even spoken on earth. It could be. I know there are instances when people have spoken in tongues, and there were people in the congregation who actually spoke that language, and they knew that it was really a language. But basically, one of the main reasons is just it's a prayer language to God. So when you don't know how to pray, just pray in tongues. You know, just pray in tongues. If you're facing something that's a little unnerving or something a little challenging, just pray in tongues. You know, sometimes we think we know how we want things to turn out or how we want God to do things. Sometimes we're right and sometimes we're not. But when we pray in tongues, we're always right. You know, because it's the Holy Spirit is just praying through us, and we're praying according to the will of God. Okay, so we need the purpose of the gift of tongues is that believers could magnify God. In Acts 10:45 and 46, is a story about Peter, how he went was in Joppa, and he went to this to Cornelius's house, and he began just to speak to them about the Lord. And it says, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." So again, an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says here, they magnified God with tongues. They spoke with tongues and were magnifying God. And so that's often what we are doing. We have the gift of tongues just so we can edify ourselves. It's not always about, sometimes in our prayer language, it's just about us, and we need that. 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says, "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So my our spirit praying. Now, this whole thing of tongues has really, really been a controversy in the church for as long as I've been a believer. It's modified some because there was a time when there were people that said if you speak in tongues, you're of the devil. Like, that's the devil's. So I often wondered why the devil could cause me to speak in tongues, but the Holy Spirit couldn't. I just kind of wondered about that. You know, it's this thing about speaking in tongues has been a controversy, and I'm not sure why. It should seem such a strange thing that God in this day would empower us and enable us to tap in to a pipeline to God, if you will, and just pray, passing our understanding, just praying to Him. I remember Judy and I were up in the Adirondacks many years ago, and we were looking for a church, and so we found this church somewhere around Saranac Lake, if I remember correctly. But we found this church, and it was really a house, is what it really was. It was a house church. We found it, and the name of the church was the Christian Conduit. And I thought, that was interesting, you know. So we went there, and they were lovely people, and we had a good time. They were very good. I asked, I said, what's the significance of the Christian Conduit? He says, pipeline to Jesus, you know. So I said, okay, you know. So those are tongue-speaking people right there, you know. They were like, it's a pipeline to Jesus. It's like getting, it's passing by all this stuff, okay. So, all right, so. So that we can magnify God, that we may edify ourselves. That's where we are. It says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That is a powerful verse right there, that we would remember that. I personally feel that there ought to be at least some time in our prayer time, our daily prayer time, when we just speak in tongues. We just pray in tongues, and just we might not know. We don't know what's coming in the day, but God knows. And so sometimes we can get it in front of things as we're praying in the Holy Spirit and just praying to God. We don't know what we're saying, but in the Spirit, He's preparing us for whatever it is that's coming that day. So He gives us that, and we should do it. Okay, that we the gift of tongues is so that our spirits could. Our spirits distinct from our understanding might pray. Okay, so it says 1 Corinthians 14:14-16, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing in the spirit, I will also sing in the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you're saying? Basically, he's saying that if somebody hears you and they don't understand tongues at all, and they hear you say, they're going to have a very difficult time saying amen, because they have no idea what you're saying. In fact, they might think you're a little not there. Okay, so that's something we're going to see. Romans 8:27, it says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is making intercession through us according to the will of God. Now, I think that all of my prayers are according to the will of God, or I wouldn't pray them. But they're probably not. Some are. I'm not saying I'm praying for sinful things. I'm just saying sometimes I might be praying for things that are outside of His will. For example, let me give you a good example that's really current. I could pray right now that this couple that I talked to you before that have kind of backed off from pursuing the pastoral position. I could pray, Father, send them here right now. And I would feel good about that prayer, because I want them here right now. I want somebody here right now. So I would feel good about that prayer, okay? I would feel real good. But if I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, maybe the Lord would be saying through me, don't send them here now. Send them here on some later date. Okay, so in other words, the Holy Spirit knows how we're to pray, and so we can pray according to the will of God, okay? So I think tongues is very, very valuable in that way. Okay. So we're just going through reasons why. Some people say, why tongues? Well, it's a very powerful thing. Okay. So why tongues? Well, at the gift of interpretation, that with the gift of interpretation, it can edify the church. And this is where the gift of tongues, the prayer language, and the gift of tongues with interpretation are different. It might be the same language, but it's utilized differently. And we'll see that here in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 12, 13, and 26, which says this, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let me just stop there and say that's a key thought in this whole idea of the gifts of the Spirit, that it's not so that we look like we're super spiritual or really wonderful people, or look at me, God loves me so much that I prophesy, sorry about you, you know, that kind of thing. It's that the church could be edified, that when we open our mouths in the congregation, that it's to build up one another. And if we scream out a tongue for the whole congregation and there's no interpretation, then that's not going to build up the church. But he says let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. How is it, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So the first thing is, we want the church to be edified. And if you feel, this used to be very common, and it's not very common anymore. In all the churches I go to, I've gone to, it's just not very common anymore. And I don't know, I'm not exactly sure why. I think it should be common. But if God puts upon you and you feel this desire to give out a tongue, before you do that, you need to pray for the interpretation. Or know that there is someone gifted that way within the congregation who could bring the interpretation so that everyone who hears it can be encouraged by it or be given something in that thing. So that it's like tongues with interpretation is really like a prophecy is what it is. Just a different way for a prophetic word to come your way. So there's all kinds of reasons why we should desire the gift of tongues. Some say, well, do I have to speak in tongues? No, you get to speak in tongues. You know, it's just God, he gives you something. Do we want to reject gifts of healing? No. Do we want to reject miracles? No. Do we want to reject prophecy? Probably not. So why would we want to say, I'll take 8 of the 9? You know, that's a 8 of the 9. That would be an A minus, right? So just give me A minus on the spiritual gifts. No, He gave us 9 spiritual gifts because they're all important. So those are some of the reasons why they're important. And there are regulations that go along with it. And so tongues are for meetings that are comprised of believers. Okay, people, not just believers in Christ, but believers in what I'm teaching right now. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 23, 26, and 33, all these are on your notes there, by the way. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in one who is uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Probably. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So there needs to be a sensitivity as to who is around. Okay, so I really, personally, I don't have a problem if we're worshiping the Lord and you are there and you want to worship God, but words kind of fail. If you are worshiping, speaking in tongues, I personally have no problem with that whatsoever. It's when you step out and you try to make that heard with everybody that you have to be careful. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, they're not restricting it. It's just you have to understand that maybe there's somebody who falls into the category of being uninformed. In other words, they might be believers. They just don't understand this. Or maybe they're just unbelievers, and we don't want this to freak them out. You know, we can do it, but we don't do it in a public sense, even though we are in public worship. Okay, the Lord directs that we can and should control the gift of tongues. Okay, as with all of the gifts, this would apply to prophecy as well, that we can control ourselves. Okay, and we should control ourselves. And that doesn't mean we quench the Spirit, because some might say, do you think maybe that... do you think... I keep preaching the same page over because the wind keeps coming... I said, that sounded familiar. No, I'm not really, but All right. Okay. So, where was I? Okay, so that we are talking about, where am I? It keeps turning my pages on me. Okay. Regulation B. It was a test. I just wanted to see who actually was paying attention. It wasn't I didn't do anything crazy or wrong. I was just testing, and you did very well. Okay. So the Lord, so I'm going to just start over again because I'm totally disrupted myself here. The Lord directs that we can and should control the gift of tongues. And so it says, therefore, in 1 Corinthians 14, 23, 27, 28, 32 and 33, these verses. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say you are out of your mind? And if anyone speaks in a tongue, let it be two or three at the most, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So all that is saying that, you know, some people feel like, well, you know, the Holy Ghost came on me, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't, you know, and I've actually had multiple experiences with this happening where people would just do things that were out of order. They just didn't fit. And you try to talk to them about it, and they would get kind of offended by it because, well, that was the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know. If it was the Holy Ghost, maybe it was just for you. But for you to do something that would bring confusion or any of those sorts of things into the church, there's a regulation. If you speak in a tongue, only two or three. We don't need 14 messages in tongues. Okay, we don't need that, and I don't think anybody wants that. So two or three in a meeting, and then each in turn, we're not talking over each other, we're not cutting each other off, and we're only doing it if there's an interpreter available. Okay, so if you have this, if you feel like you're supposed to speak in tongues, what you're saying is, Lord, what's the meaning of this tongue? And we're going to get to interpretation in a minute, but as the Lord gives you, then you can give the tongue, and then you can give the interpretation. Or if you're aware that there's someone who is particularly gifted in this area, you could give it and trust that one to interpret. Okay, so we're not trying to confuse people with this or make people feel like something really weird is going on. So there's ways that we keep in the curbs. We keep between the curbstones. Okay, God's word expressly says that we're not to forbid speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Okay, so I don't want to forbid to speak in tongues. I think I want to encourage that we would speak in tongues. Now, the interesting thing is I honestly, at this point in time, I don't know how tongues-orientated this church really is. Because I don't know that I have heard one message in tongues. In almost 3 years that we've been coming here, I don't think I've heard a message in tongues. I don't really know that I've heard in a church service anyhow people praying in tongues in a time of worship. So I'm not really sure, as I'm sharing this, where you are at or what your reaction to this is. So that's always exciting for a preacher, you know. You preach on tongues, and next week only 10 people show up, you know, because I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is that we can have the supernatural movement of God, the Holy Spirit among us, and do it in according to the Word of God. And what does it do? It builds people up. And so even if you yourself are not in a place where you're saying, I'm ready to speak in tongues, I hope you will be before this is done, but maybe you're saying, I'm not ready to do that, understand that tongues with interpretation is to encourage you and to bless you. Okay. Edification is always the test of the gift's proper employment. Okay. Edification of others. Now, there are people, they're here and there, who like to stand out. They kind of like to be noticed, okay? And so they use these opportunities, but their motivation isn't to build you up. The motivation is that people would say, my, oh my, what a spiritual person that is, you know? Well, normally that's not what people say, and if that's the motivation, bag it. Don't do it. You know, that's the wrong motivation. And so edification is always the test. And you know your own motivation. You have to do your own heart search on that. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 and 40, those two verses. How is it, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Here's what it says. Let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done decently and in order. Something being done decent and in order does not mean shutting it down. Okay? I think a lot of us here, I hope all of us here, are in a place where we're believing the time for playing church is gone. We're not entering an era where playing church is going to work anymore. It's never really worked, but you could in a way get away with it. But like I was talking to Shelby before the service, talking to her about her job and you know how she's been planted with these people. And I said, you know what? People need to realize that when they go to their workplace, that is their ministry. It's not like I work. Oh, now I'm going to go to church and be a Christian. Then I work. You're a Christian wherever you are. And a Christian empowered by the Holy Spirit in the workplace, in school, wherever it might be, is what we need to be. We need to be supernaturally gifted and empowered. And if we're not, we are fighting spiritual warfare. It's like coming after a modern-day army with a bow and arrow. I think when the Nazis invaded Poland, I think the Polish charged the tanks with horses. You know, it didn't work. You know, in case you don't know history, it didn't work. And we can't be charging tanks on horses. We need to be spiritually empowered. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, tearing down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and taking every thought captivity unto the obedience of Christ. We are in a spiritual war. We are living our lives in a realm of the earth, but we are spiritual beings, and much of what we do is in that plane. And if we try to live our lives without the equipment that God gives to us, then we will not be effective, probably be frustrated, and so on. So we really need to be spirit-empowered people. And as long as I'm off on this little bunny trail, let me say this. When we talked, the song talks about being overwhelmed in his presence. I've been overwhelmed in his presence sometimes, and I liked it, you know. I liked when he pinned me to the floor and wouldn't let me move for hours. I liked it. I liked when I was just so aware of his presence. Talk about the weight of his glory would come upon me, and I'd be unable to move. I like that. And I thank God for that. But when he is doing that, he's doing that to make us able to do what we're supposed to do when we get up off the floor and we go and live our lives. It's that experience with him, however it comes, is not merely for you. It's to equip you. It's to change you. It's to heal you. It's to pour anointing into you. It's whatever he's doing. I remember we had this one lady come to our church. She would come from Pennsylvania. She would drive to our church every Sunday night. And she would come, and we'd pray for her, and she'd weep. She'd just weep. She'd lay on the floor and weep. And she did this for 5 or 6 months. Just we'd pray for her, she'd lay on the floor and weep. And then one day we prayed for her, and the Holy Ghost came upon her in a special way, and she was, I'll just say, she was full of life and joy. And she had a testimony that night about how every week she had a very, very difficult life. Just a lot of horrible things happened to this lady. And she said, every time I would get prayed for, God would put his finger on something painful in my life, and I would weep until it was healed. And this went on for 5 or 6 months. And she said, and then she gave a testimony. She said, you know what? I'm healed. You know, I am healed of that. And so she came to a place of liberty and freedom. And now she's not, there's a saying that hurting people hurt people. You know, now she's not a hurting person anymore. Now she's a whole person. And now she's ready. So these experiences are very, very important, but just understand they're not the end all and the be all. They are helping you so that you can be the Christian he wants you to be when you're out there with your family, your friends, your neighbors, and so on. Okay. So as we talked about the gift of tongues, let's talk about the gift of an interpretation of tongues. Okay. Of the, you know, of the nine gifts that we're looking at, seven of them have been active in both the Old and the New Testament. But tongues and interpretation of tongues, these are strictly New Testament gifts. All of the gifts are totally supernatural, and so is this one. Interpretation of tongues is the supernatural showing forth by the Spirit of the meaning of an utterance in other tongues. The interpreter does not understand the language. It's a miracle. So I know I've done interpretation when I was overseas, and somebody was sharing, and they didn't speak the language, so that I interpreted. I said, this is what he's saying. Now, interpretation is not translation. So somebody would say, well, how come the tongue that person gave went on for 30 seconds and the interpretation went on for 3 minutes? Doesn't that mean something's wrong? No, because what it's saying is that interpretation is giving the meaning of the tongue, not the translation of the tongue. In other words, not trying to take the grammatical. When I would interpret for people, they would say things that just didn't translate. You know, they just didn't translate into that language. So I would have to find a way. And there were times somebody would say something. This one guy, he's preaching, and he says, now, I'm in the middle of Africa. These are very simple people. And he starts talking about the cosmos, you know. And all, so he's going on about the cosmos and comets, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what do I do with this? Because if I try to translate that, I can't. There's no words for it. So I would have to find a way to just talk about the glories of heaven. So I chose that way, and that's how. So I found a way to do that, and so it was an interpretation of what he was trying to say. It wasn't a translation. So that answers the question. Why does a tongue and an interpretation of tongues, why are they sometimes different lengths? Okay, so the purpose of the interpretation of tongues is to render the gift of tongues understandable. That makes sense. 1 Corinthians 14, we already looked at these verses, but Paul says, chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 27, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be at least two or three at the most in each one in turn, and let one interpret. So that the purpose is obvious. There's really only one purpose for this. So there's a few observations about the regulation of this gift, and one is that, as I said, it's interpretation, not translation. It declares a meaning, not the equivalent grammar and all of that. The temperament natural gifts and training, as well as the nationality of the person giving the interpretation, will influence the statement. But the gift is still supernatural. I noticed this when I first moved to Africa, and I didn't speak the language. Our senior missionary, he would often interpret for me what Africans were saying, and I thought, how interesting. They all sound just like him, you know, because they would use his phraseology. It would be just like talking to him. And this was actually a great motivation for me to learn the language, because I realized that as long as I went through an interpreter, I would never really know that person. That person would always sound like somebody else, because it's an interpretation. Okay, so it's not a translator. The temperaments, the way people express themselves and all of that, that's going to come out in an interpretation. So don't despise it or think it's unreal because you have a tongue and then Denny comes out with an interpretation and it sounds just like Denny. So, well, that can't be God. It sounds just like Denny. Oh, I didn't mean that the way it sounded. I honestly did not mean that the way it sounded. I'm saying is that If he has an interpretation, when he gives it, it's going to sound like him. He's going to use his own phraseology. He's going to talk like he's going to talk. But he's going to give you the meaning of the message that came in tongues. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Those who speak in tongues are expressly instructed to pray for this further gift. So there's a responsibility upon you. If you want to give a message in tongue to the congregation, you're to pray for the interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14:13, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Or, as it says, let one interpret. If you're not the interpreter, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three each in turn, and let one interpret. Now, this doesn't mean that there can only be one interpreter. It means that someone has got to interpret the tongues. Otherwise, there is this message given out, and it's hovering over the congregation. Everybody's looking at each other saying, I wonder what that meant. You know, we don't know. And so finally, we move on, but we never know what that is. So we need, there's got to be somebody to interpret, and that's the proper use of the gift of tongues in a congregation. All right. The one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he should interpret, and we already talked about that. We need to limit the messages to two or three per meeting. I don't think we have a problem with that right now. Maybe that's going to get to be a problem, which I'm all for. And, I think that, like somebody said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. You know, so if we in any of the gifts, if we step outside, you know, we're doing something. Nobody's evil. Nobody's got bad motivations or intentions. But maybe you just kind of tripped up a little bit. Then at this point in time, it would be up to me to take you aside and say, you know, that probably wasn't God. Let me tell you why. And so when you step out in this, you have to understand that correction might go with it. Okay, don't take it personal. You might still think after I talk to you that you were right, and so that's okay too. But we have to have some order, and so I may say, you know, that really wasn't in line with what God was doing, or I think that was more for you than for everybody. So anyhow, when we step out, we need to be humble enough to be approached in case we step, because we're all learning, you know, and you can do the same thing for me. You could say, you know, you did that, and I don't think that was God. That is definitely not God. Stop. I don't know how to stop it. It won't stop. All right. I don't know what to do. Somebody know how to stop this thing? There we go. Oh, Lord. Okay. I live in the wrong age. I don't know. I have a phone. I just don't know what to do with it. Okay, but I do know what it told me. It told me that we need to be bringing this in for a landing. Okay. All right. So limit messages to two or three. And, when people really get excited in the spirit, you know, we're excited. We're feeling the energy. We're feeling the anointing. We're feeling revelation. We're feeling all this. So we have to discern whether or not, is this for the whole church? What I'm feeling, is this just for me? And sometimes, a lot of times, it'll be just for you. It'll be just for you. And sometimes it will be for others. Okay. So we're going to end there. And next week, we're going to pick up the gift of prophecy. And we will then finish this series, this part of it. And then, just so you know where we're going, we're going to look at, after this, we're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we're done with that, we're going to pray that each and every one is filled to overflowing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there's going to be a release of the gifts of the Spirit, that there's going to be a fresh release of anointing, that the power of God among us, that there's going to be a change, that after we're not going to be the same as we were before. Some of us need to be refilled. Some of us need to be freshly anointed. Some of us need to step into this for the first time. But we need, I don't know how many different ways to say it, we need the Holy Spirit. This is not, we the state of New York sees us as an organization. That should tell you something right there. We are, I suppose, an organization, but that's not really what we are. We are the body of Christ. He said, greater things than this will you do because I'm going to my Father. He wants us to be naturally supernatural. That's what he called us to. That's what he's provided for. And that's what I believe we need to step into. And as we do, we will see some of the things. Shay brought up something that she's heard two or three times over this church. I believe it. But it's only going to happen as we up here who are gathering embrace all that God has for us. So, Father, we are thankful to you right now. As we're going through this and we're looking at these things, tongues and interpretation, it's something that we can't completely understand because its origins is in the Spirit. But, Lord, we just pray that you would help each one of us to be open for every gift of the Spirit, every working of God that you would have among us. And Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, I pray that we would leave full of expectation of the good things that you have for us. And Lord, that we would go our way. And even this week, Lord, that we would press into your anointing and we would be unafraid to minister to other people out of that anointing. And we give you thanks for it. Bless each and every one of your sons and daughters in this place. Keep them, bless them, and provide for every need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Feel free to hang around, of course, and fellowship as long as you want. Amen. God bless you.